I've got a problem.
There are aspects of my personality that I can't control.
See a shrink.
It's a little bit more complicated than that.
Bruce, trust me when I tell you, I've heard them all.
Not this one.
We've never seen anything even close to your levels of exposure. That you survived an event like that, it's beyond my comprehension.
I don't want to control it. I want to get rid of it.
As far as I'm concerned, that man's whole body is property of the U.S. Army.
They want it as a weapon. If we let it go, we will never get it back.
What the hell was that?
There's only one thing that can fight that. It's in me.
Maybe if I can control it, I can use it.
Did you ever notice how Skype is always a bitch around Christmas time?
Skype's a bitch every day of the year.
This must be the time of the month where she gets cold in her stocking or something like that, because I swear to God, that bitch, every December, no matter what co-host I've ever had, every December is the worst connection ever. I don't know what it is about that bitch at Christmas time, whatever. I don't even think they serve Christmas in the UK, though, so never mind.
I love how you said this time of month. Like it's her PMS.
It is her PMS. She's a bitch. She is a bitch. She's a... Hello. How was your call today? Yeah, fuck your call. That's how it was.
Unless we have pristine connection, which is rare, I always give it like two or one star.
Every time she asks me that, I just close. I'm
not answering your questions, bitch.
Yeah, I'm not going to answer your fucking question, bitch. You've been cutting off. What was it last week, though, especially? Oh, I think we had probably one of the most connection problems. What was it last week or the week before?
It's both.
Probably. So, fuck it.
It was both.
People, welcome to Throwback Tuesday, episode 79. I'm the Phenomenal One.
I am Z.
I am Groot. I am Z.
I think it's episode 80.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I said 79. Why the fuck did I say 79? Oh, because I'm looking at 79 right now. I see a big-ass 79 written on my whiteboard. I forgot to erase that off there. It is episode 80, people. What was I thinking? 79 was Sandlot. That's right. 80 is episode Incredible Hulk. Hulk smash, bitch.
Hulk smash a bitch. That's right.
Hulk smashes a bitch. That's right. Well, you touch Hulk's pee-pee.
What?
He's scared now. He's like, oh, shit. The original Hulk, though, Dwayne Johnson, his big green ass. Did you see that Halloween picture he posted last year?
Yeah, I think he did an SNL bit, like, back in the late 90s, early 2000s, where he was, like, did a Hulk thing, too.
Yeah, see, back in the 90s, though, he wasn't that fucking big, though. I mean, he was average size, well, average size for, like, an athlete, but...
I was gonna say, he's no average size.
Fucking now, though, like, going back, because I always look up those old clips of The Rock back in wrestling days, like, because they always put those videos on YouTube where he, like, oh, Rock compilation on mic or something like that. And I always watch those, get a good laugh when I'm ever eating or something like that. And I was like, man, that guy was... He's kind of small back then, like, seriously.
I know.
That dude has gotten bigger as he got older. He probably said, I'm not going to let what happened to Arnold happen to me.
No, and he's Samoan, too. And Samoan usually, like, they get fat. But he's not.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got that. The funny thing is, I know, like, 3 Samoan and black people. I don't know if it is, but they're not that good looking. So The Rock must have got lucky.
he's alienating every stereotype on Samoans and blacks.
Oh yeah, oh definitely. Oh man, he's a sexy fucking wildebeest. I can tell you that right now. I'd sell my left nut to just lay in the bed with him.
So he can cup your right one.
That guy is fucking awesome.
He is. And I watched the trailer for San Andreas. I'm like, even that movie's probably going to suck, it's going to probably be fucking awesome.
Yeah, when I saw that trailer, I was just like, this doesn't look like it fits in The Rock's category, but whatever. That guy's always doing something different that doesn't fit in his realm of acting, so I'm cool with it.
Yeah, I'm cool.
But The Rock versus nature.
I kind of wish The Rock would be the Hulk.
Yeah, bullshit. He's going to be in the Shazam movie, so he's going to be playing Black.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. That's the only excitement I have for that movie is knowing that Dwayne Johnson's in it, because I think Dwayne Johnson has that charisma to bring some life into DC, so.
Yeah. Now, this movie with Incredible Hulk, with their opening credits, are they trying to just make you forget about the original Hulk?
This was that Wolverine movie, you remember? X-Men Origins came out, then the next Wolverine came out. And they were just like, yeah, let's just forget about that last one, whatever. That's what Marvel back in the day with Forrest Fox and Paramount. That's what they used to do and shit. They used to try to just like reboot shit without trying to make it a sequel / reboot, because they did that with the Punisher Warzone too. Remember?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You remember that? You remember Punisher Warzone? My family was killed. And you thinking like they was gonna go back to the Thomas Jane one, and then they showed him at a picnic, with the skies all bright and shit. I was like, what the fuck is that?
Now this was 5 years after the original Hulk, and that's really quick for a reboot. That's like Spider-Man. That's Amazing Spider-Man bullshit right there.
Quick, well, reboot / sequel in a way. Remember that? I don't know what they call that. I guess there is a term for it. I forgot what it was, but I was heavily pleased that they replied that. And, you know, going back to rewatch the original Hulk, I admire Ang Lee's ambition, but for an art director like that, the Hulk is not the character you want to take a route with that.
No, I don't like the original Hulk, the 2003 Hulk, because the last scene, the fight scene, it's so dark you can't see shit.
Shit, the last fight scene didn't make any goddamn sense, you ask me. It has no goddamn sense.
And he made it like, Ann Lee made it like a comic book.
Yeah, he really did. You know, some directors just isn't right for that type of genre. You know, Ang Lee, Joel Schumacher, we've seen that they're not, those characters just wasn't right for them at the time.
No, no.
Because we both know that both directors can do fucking amazing work when they get something, so. This is just source material that they didn't understand and didn't know what to do with it, and they tried to take something different with it, and it just didn't work out for them.
And bad casting there. I don't think Eric Bana was very good as the Hulk.
There was times as Bruce Banner, I thought he fit the look of it and the acting ability of it and shit. But then I was just like, somewhere in the middle, it's just getting lost. You know?
What do you think?
Like,
of...
Yeah, somewhere now it's getting worse as it goes along. I was like, all right, now it's getting worse.
What do you think of
Gordon? It's perfect.
I thought Norton was good, but I think Ruffalo is better.
Oh, you know what? I had this debate when the Avengers came out. We talked about this very long as Steve, me and a host we had and a guest and shit. And we were talking very long about it. I was just like, Edward Norton has the look down of Bruce Banner, but I think that Mark Ruffalo sells the mannerisms of Bruce Banner more than Edward Norton did.
Yeah.
Especially in the Avengers when he got on the helicarrier and how he's all nervous and shaking around, constantly fiddling with his thumbs and stuff like that. I was like, yeah, that is straight up Bruce Banner. Like, Mark Ruffalo really nailed that in those parts where he made you believe like he was this nerdy looking guy, even though, you know, he looks like goddamn supermodel and shit like that by bodybuilding shit. But Edward Norton, I was thinking that, like, that was like the only problem that I never had with him is he never really looked like that nerdy, scary type. He just had the look of it as far as, you know, just his size and weight and shit.
Yeah, and this was his... I want to say this was Norton's biggest role to date as in big budget movie.
And see, the thing was, well, would you consider that last Bourne movie big?
Well, yeah. Hulk came out before Bourne.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, because, you know, this movie wasn't considered a big project until Disney bought Marvel.
And this was around that time?
No, it wasn't around that time for like another year or two.
Okay, because Iron Man came out first.
Yeah,
then Hulk.
Iron Man wasn't the first Iron Man wasn't with Disney. Iron Man 2 came out is when, you know, before Iron Man 2 came out, around 2009 is when Disney bought Marvel. So, you know, the Incredible Hulk, this was just like looking at like a reboot or something like that. I don't think it was ever in the plans of, you know, becoming what it is today.
Yeah.
So by that standard, would you consider, at that time it wasn't his big project, but looking at it, what is it, 10 years or fucking 7 years later now, Jeff? Yeah, he probably dropped the ball.
Well, I think he said, I think Norton said it wasn't his, this is something he's not really into.
Yeah, because they fired his ass because he kept cut. He was apparently he was having arguments with people. He was arguing with other actors. Tim and Joss Whedon got into it because he kept trying to change Joss Whedon's script on the Avengers and shit.
Who the hell does he think he is?
That huge dispute they had, man?
I'm remembering it now that you're saying
Yeah, it was a huge thing. Like, just everybody that was on that cast, and even the production team was just like, he was just hard to work with and shit like that. He was like constantly trying to make changes and stuff. Because you know, I want to say that I could be wrong. I want to say Joss Whedon, but I think it was somebody else asked him to help, you know, tone fine tune in the script and stuff like that. And he was coming in like making drastic changes and shit like that. So
Like, you remember the movie Italian Job, right?
yeah.
Which I like that movie. He mailed it in because that was his last, I think his last movie on contract with that company, and he
Yeah.
just kind of just say like he just you can tell he didn't care about the movie, and that's kind of like it seems like his attitude. Norton can be pitch perfect like he was in like Fight Club and Primal Fear and shit like that, but he's kind of like a diva.
You think he's because he recently had a movie come out with Michael Keaton, Birdman, which I wouldn't be surprised if he gets Best Supporting Actor in that movie because he was actually great in that movie. Do you think that he's one of those Oscar snubs that I'm only going to work my best if I work with the prime director, prime actor, another act co-star, and if it gets like a nod or something like that?
But I mean, as an I mean, okay, you say you're an actor. You don't know what movie's gonna be like really an Oscar movie. Like, I'm sure when they first started doing Interstellar, they're thinking, oh, this is gonna be an Oscar movie. You know what I mean?
I hope they didn't think that because it's a sci-fi film and sci-fi films don't get nominated.
True, but you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
Like,
I
you
get you.
never know, like, who would have guessed Birdman would have been nominated so many times? I don't know. I didn't know.
Because it was coming out around that time, and then the way they were portraying it, and the director that was working on it, and stuff like that, it just had the talent on it that was just like, yeah, I can see someone probably throwing a nod in this or whatever. And you know, obviously, as an actor, he would know before anyone, as far as the critics or general audience or anything like that, because you know, obviously, he knows the script. He's been working on it for a year or two. He knows pretty much the background and details of it.
I'm looking at like his
Remember that last in that Bourne movie? He was pretty fucking horrible in that movie. And then in this one, he was good. He was for whatever. But I don't know. There was some time where I was like, Edward Norton could have been better in this film.
Like I'm looking at his, resume right now. He was like in Grand Budapest Hotel,
Yeah. He was great in that
which
too.
is,
Obviously got the nod as
obviously
well.
Moonrise Kingdom.
Great in that too, and that got
So he looks like he really picks and chooses a lot of stuff.
I'm telling you, I think he goes by director. I think he if it's if it's like a big time director or something like that, like such as the Wes Andersons, which was if I'm not mistaken, him and Wes Anderson are friends though. I think he probably works harder than what he normally does and shit. Because I'm not lying. I was rewatching this film. I was like, you know, I know Edward Norton can do better than this. And you know, this was at the time where you know Marvel Studios wasn't involved with this movie as much and shit like that. So I'm sure he was not only the biggest name on this film, but he probably had a lot of say so on what goes on. Because he wouldn't just pick this for nothing now.
Correct.
But there was some of his times where his acting, I was just like, yeah, he could do better in this part or this part, because there was a couple of scenes with that bitch Betty,
Oh
which I'm
God,
gonna go ahead and say this right now, Betty is the worst thing of this movie.
that she was without a doubt the worst character of the entire movie.
If anything, I remember somebody asked this question in The Darkness, what was the worst female character in a Marvel film, or whatever, and you know they were talking about what's that, Natalie Portman and Thor or something like that and shit, and I was like,
Jane?
shit, I'll take you back on one.
I don't
Fucking
mind. I like Jane. I don't mind Jane.
Liv Tyler in The Incredible Hulk is fucking horrible.
You know why? I think this movie gets forgotten because Ruffalo is Hulk.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely. Oh yeah, definitely. If they probably would have kept the same actor, then it probably wouldn't be that forgotten. But you know, Marvel, even though they still sell it with the whole, you know, Marvel Phase One part or whatever and shit, this is probably easily the most forgettable Marvel film out of all of them. And which I gotta say, it's sad some parts because man, getting to the ending, I thought it was the best, one of the best fight scenes of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
It's up there with like it's you know it's still obviously the end of Avengers is tops,
Oh yeah.
but it's really up there. It really is. It's really
I
good.
think in Phase One, as far as all the Marvel movies, I think this is the best ending,
Is this
personally.
considered a phase one? Is this
Yeah.
still considered in part of the universe?
Yeah, they sell it with the Phase One and everything. It's still Phase One, yeah.
Okay.
It's all Phase One and shit like that. I think out of all the Phase One movies, it has the best ending, best
Well,
fight scene, best everything. Out of the out of the two Iron Man movies, the first two Iron Man movies, Thor, Captain America, I think this one is next to the Avengers as far as fight scenes go.
it is, and the director Lewis Lederer, he did Now You See Me, and you
Yeah.
love that fight scene with Dave Franco.
Oh yeah, man, the dude, he has a fucking great sense of camera angles and work with his fight scenes. Cause I ain't gonna lie, that movie kind of became bullshit, especially
Oh,
that
it
fight.
was, but that scene was the shit, though.
And that's the only reason why I kept it from a fuck it too. And actually, cause in the beginning of the film, I had fun with it. And then when we got to that fight scene, I was just like, you know, I've never seen a fight. I've seen a lot of magic movies, but I've never seen a fight scene that was like incorporating magic like that. And it looked fucking spectacular. It was amazing. I was like, that was cool as fuck. And same goes for this movie too, man. You see it, man. The fight scenes in here, you know, because everybody always says, "Oh, I want robots versus monsters or aliens versus this or whatever shit." When's the last time you got a fucking creature versus a creature just going all out at it and shot good too?
It is, and he, you know, he's done Transformer movies, so he's got an eye for like perfect camera angles for
Yeah,
those
yeah,
action
yeah.
scenes.
So yeah, the dude is definitely, man. He definitely needs to be like, I don't know, co-director or camera or technician or something like that on some of these action scenes and stuff like that. Which, and I'm not to downgrade Marvel anyway, because I think Marvel, especially Phase Two, man, has some of the most. I think it has some of the best endings of the Marvel franchise because they're not the same endings over and over. I think the way, not, well, not. They are the same endings as far as story wise, but as far as like what they tend to do with them, I think is fucking fantastic. Like with Iron Man 3, the switching suits and shit like that, which we've never seen in any superhero film before. The whole Captain America thing, you know,
Just say the whole
when we
Captain
get to
America movie.
yeah, the whole goddamn movie pretty much. But the ending itself of the whole, you know, killing of Shield and all that, and going up against pretty much Hydra and all those reveals and stuff. That was a spectacular. Guardians of the Galaxy, that ending of the whole spaceships colliding together and shit like that. I was like, Jesus Christ. Oh, even the Thor 2 with the hammer, how they did Mjolnir flying around for Thor to catch it and shit like that. I was like, man, they got some good cinematography techniques
They set them up. You can tell they really set them up from phase two to phase one.
Yeah, exactly. And that's not to say Phase One was bad. It's just that Phase One always left you, in all the movies too, always left you wanting more. Like the first Iron Man, the only problem I have with that movie is I wish that ending could have been more. I wish that fight scene could have been more, 'cause that
It was
I wish
quick.
that
It was
Tony Stark
quick.
suit was at full power to have a full fight scene.
Yeah, and it seemed like a quick ending too.
It did.
Incredible Hulk, they actually drawn it out pretty good. That wasn't
Yeah.
a one-sided fight like you know the bad guy, shit, what's his name? Tim Ross care
Yeah.
that
Abomination.
Abomination. That it wasn't a one-sided.
Both
They both
names.
had it was like pretty much a 50-50 fight.
And they actually put another villain in here too, when he became the Abomination. The guy that was the doctor that turned him into the Abomination.
Stearns, yeah.
Yeah, he is one of Hulk's biggest villains as well. He becomes the leader. That's why his head was all enlarged and shit like that, or whatever.
Yeah, but that was probably for a sequel that probably won't happen because I've have not seen anything about a new Hulk movie.
Yep, and there you go. Like you said, as far as that was, like, once again, that was before Marvel stepped in and shit like that.
Do you
So, you
think they
know,
don't have
that.
faith in it?
Huh?
Do you think they don't have faith in the Hulk
I don't think it's
movie?
that they don't have faith in it. Obviously, because this movie was successful. I think it's just that they're past that. we're moving on now. And personally, I don't want to see a Hulk movie.
They're already established characters from Avengers. They want to kind of bring it. That's when they're bringing in the new people.
There you go. And I agree completely with that. Like, everybody's talking about, I want to see this Hulk movie. And I'm on the side of, no, I want to see a Ms. Marvel and Black Panther, Guardians of the Galaxy movie. I want to see those. I know Hulk. I'm done with him. Like, I don't need to see a solo film now with him and shit like that. I've seen that, done that. Let's move on.
Like, you're cool with the three Iron Man movies, but you know Iron Man's gonna be a huge part of Captain America 3.
Yeah.
Iron Man's pretty much done. We established that.
Like you say, like, I love Iron Man. Iron Man's one of my favorite in the movies and stuff like that. But when the three movies are done, I know his character. Let's move on now. I know where he's going to be. As far as Avengers go, awesome to see him in that, just like I will beat the Hulk. But as far as solo movies go, I'm ready to move on now.
Yeah, and I think Thor 3 will probably be the last one.
Yeah, Captain America 3 will be the last one.
So that's Civil War. That'll probably be the last one. And then they're going to establish the new ones. Like you said, Black Panther, Ms. Marvel.
Doctor Strange.
Strange. And I think there's still talk about Black Widow movie, right?
That one got canceled because of Scarlett Johansson got pregnant. So I think they probably pushed that one back. And then that's when the Ms. Marvel one got announced and shit like that.
So that will pretty much...
I don't need to see a Scarlett Johansson movie. Jeremy Renner has come out and said he has no intentions of wanting to do a Hawkeye movie because... He says that what would be the point of that? I think that it works better with the team. I agree completely with that too. Because the thing with Black Widow and Hawkeye, why I don't want to see those solo movies is because we had Captain America: Winter Soldier. It's like, how much spy movies do we need to see from Marvel?
I mean, if Hawkeye was in, if he had a bigger part in another movie, say like he had that small part in Thor.
Yeah.
If he had like another part like what Scarlett Johansson was, I'm cool with it, because, one, it's more focused on Captain America, it's more focused on Thor. They got the superpowers, they're just assassins. They're just regular old people. It's going to turn into a fucking Bourne movie.
And I heard that he has a bigger part in the Avengers 2 and shit like that.
I have too. I heard Whedon say that too.
And that he's going to be in Captain America 3, and that Clark Gregg just came out recently and pretty much... He pretty much made a joke about it and hinted about it, but he just pretty much confirmed that Hawkeye is going to be in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. soon.
That's fine. Wait, as a cameo? As like a guest star or like maybe a few?
Yeah, like he's going to have an episode with Clark Gregg.
Oh, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, see, I personally, if you want to do like Carl Johansson movie and stuff, like I say, don't give him a movie. Stick him on that show for an episode.
True. Yeah, because it all ties in.
Since the season just ended, I say you picked up where, like, you can do, like, some kind of, like, flashback shit. You pick up where Captain America left off, and then you pick up, you do a whole episode about Scarlett Johansson. Where she goes, how she comes back, and stuff like that. An hour, you can get that done in an hour, be a good episode, and then, you know what, you'd be like, well, the movie, so you can't really downgrade it that much, but then it'll get people back up to date, whatever, and you'd be like, oh, she had her own thing, though, so, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that TV show is, like, perfect setup for, like, for shit like that in the movies.
Now,
do a little more of that too.
Now, so I am pretty far. I am pretty behind on Agents, but
so good this season. It just ended.
Are they gonna be tied? I mean, I know it's 100% tied in, but yeah. Are the agents ever gonna be in like a movie?
All right, so people, if you haven't watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. lately, they've been hinting at because everybody knows the Inhumans are coming out for Phase 3. Which is like fucking, if you didn't know who Guardians were, you goddamn sure won't know who the humans are. And I think since they can't call, like, you know, Quicksilver and them mutants, I think they're just going to call them Inhumans. And
which is a cool term.
Yeah, real cool. I love the background stories over the Inhumans and shit like that from the comic books. And what Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has been doing is they've been nodding at the Inhumans. So Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. this season, lately in the season, has been tying into the Inhumans and setting that up about these superpower beings that are created and shit like that, which has been fucking fantastic. I'm just like, if you're watching this show, when the Inhumans come out, you're going to see it all come together as well. I was like, that is the best thing to set that up. Don't crowbar Inhumans in any other Marvel movies and shit like that. Keep it on this TV show. Build it up slowly. And then when that movie comes out, you already have all the knowledge you need of them. I was like, I love that plan.
Yeah, before I get to the plot synopsis, but we have never seen anything like this in, like, a lifetime, ever, of movies tying in with the TV show, and everything it all just it's a one big circle. Like
yeah,
what Marvel's doing is one, it's innovative, it's interesting.
Yeah.
It's innovating. You know, it's something that I know DC's trying to do that with the Batman movie and shit, and yeah. But it's not going to work with them. It's because they don't have the right writers. They don't have the right people in place to do that.
You know, the one thing I admire from Marvel about this, too, is just, I love the ambition of it. You know, it's obviously you can love the ambition of it because these are characters we all love and grew up with and shit like that. And the ambition of it is coming so well together and see that, you know, that the fact that they can't, they're pretty much, you know, they're at a place where they're at a win-win situation. Personally, I was just thinking about this. With DC, they're releasing Batman. That's their first Superman. Their first movie, Batman vs. Superman. I think they should have saved that for last.
Yeah, you got to. Well, I think they're saving it for Justice League.
I think, but the whole Batman vs. Superman, I think they should have saved that for last. I think that should have been the last movie to come out as far as whatever they plan on doing. So, because, yeah, you're right, they're doing a Justice League film. I think Batman vs. Superman, though, that title alone, and even in the books and shit like that, that is like the last straw between the two characters and shit like that. And what I think they could have did with that is they could have built up so much story between and so much like background. Kind of like how Captain America and Iron Man are kind of doing it in these solo films or Captain America versus S.H.I.E.L.D. and shit like that, how he's doing it. And I think they could have just saved that up with Batman vs. Superman to save for this final showdown between them. I think that would have been well worth it if they established all these characters and then ended it with Batman vs. Superman.
Yeah, it's just going to be a big shoehorn. A shoehorn with Wonder Woman and Aquaman. It's going to be just a shoehorn fuck. That's all it's going to be.
And we already know why they're doing that, too, is because they figured, you know, Superman didn't make Iron Man 3 money, so they were like, oh, let's crowbar Batman in there. I'm just like, oh, okay. So they didn't really have a fucking plan to do it. They just did it because of money. I'm just like, oh, well. See, you already took me out of the passion of it now.
Yeah, it's just a cash grab.
Yeah, exactly. Because they know Batman is like, obviously, he's the most popular DC character ever and ever will be. The only DC character that's ever made over $1 billion as well. Very disappointed with Superman's return on his money, whatever. So they said, "Fuck it, let's throw Batman in there."
Yeah, but let's get a little plot synopsis for Incredible Hulk.
Yeah, we've been all over the place.
Directed by Lewis Lederer, starring Edward Norton, Liv Tyler, Tim Roth, Tim Blake Nelson, Ty Burrell, William Hurt. Budget $150 million. Box office $263 million. And I want to say it just forgets about the first one, but Bruce Banner's obviously got gamma radiation, and he's living in Brazil, and he's trying to find a cure so he doesn't become the Hulk. And you know, we're learning about Ross, Thunderbolt Ross, General, and his daughter Betty trying to, you know, Betty's trying to save him, Ross or Thunderbolt's trying to catch him.
Yeah.
So.
You know, I was going to ask you, because you bring up trying to forget about the first one. You know how people always say they're tired of origin stories?
Mm-hmm.
Or they're tired of the origin movies and shit like that? I think we got to give credit to Ang Lee, because one of the things I like about this movie is that it doesn't go over an origin story. It just gets right into it.
It does, and this one somewhat seems like it picks up right from the first one.
Yeah.
I mean, it really does.
Brazil, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then in this one, it picks up in the Brazil, stuff like that. So, where I say you gotta give credit to Ang Lee is I gotta give credit for Ang Lee for fucking up. Because the fact that, you know, they tried to make a, you know, / reboot / sequel, which they, when Marvel does do this or whatever, it's no more an origin story. It's kind of a pickup / reboot shit like that. They get right into it. It's no how he got his powers or nothing like that and shit like that. It's just right into the story and just going along with what I wonder, I never asked him, well, how do you feel about that? Like, I'm curious how the people feel about just getting right into the story, because I've been hearing a lot lately saying, oh, I don't want a Batman origin, I don't want a Spider-Man origin, I'm tired of origins and stuff like that. So how do you feel about getting right into this story?
Jumping right into it. I think the opening credits kind of showed his origins in like a 2-minute span.
Yeah,
that was a nice touch. That's why I kind of said they might be for, you know, erasing the history of the Hulk.
Yeah,
I'm not. I know. I thought it would have been drawn out because we've already seen it. We know how Hulk got his powers. We know it.
Yeah.
That's fine. Like Iron Man, we never, you know, that was an origin story because we found out what happened to him and stuff. And Captain America, same thing. So I'm really cool with it because I just think it would have been drawn out because there was a lot of downtime in this movie that I'm not gonna say it hurt it, but it took away from what it could have been.
Could you, would you say, would you like to see this route taken more with, movie, superhero films?
Oh, I think we're on that process, but with establishing new characters like Black Panther, Miss Marvel, they're not well known to.
Like, let me ask, well, Black Panther, he kind of is. Miss Marvel definitely isn't. Let me ask you this. Miss Marvel, I don't think it'll work. Well, it probably would, actually, because of Guardians of the Galaxy just coming on. You know, you just like, oh, Ms. Marvel's, you know, obviously all these Cosmo characters going on, so it might work, but I'd prefer to see an origin for her, just because that's my favorite female superhero character. What I was going to ask you, though, is Black Panther. Could you see a Black Panther movie just jumping in straight into Africa, Wakanda, even though we already know Captain America, he's going to be in Captain America 3 first before Black Panther comes out. Could you just see them jumping right into Wakanda, and you see... Before you see the costume, you see, you know, the African King and T'Challa, and they bring up the Black Panther and stuff like that. Then he goes on missions or something like that. Could you just see them jumping right into the Black
I
Panther
don't think it
without?
could work because people really don't know who Black Panther is. That's
People know who Black Panther is. I think Black Panther is well known.
it's your comic book fans.
No, because people have been begging for a Black Panther movie for the past 8 years now.
Okay. You mean just jump? He already has his powers and everything?
Well, he doesn't have powers.
Or he's already Black Panther and
His father was Black Panther, but he got killed, and he pretty much took the mantle to reclaim the throne back for Africa because someone was pretty much a dictator pretty much came and took over it.
It really depends on how they do it.
Yeah.
I mean, we can always have assumptions, but it just really depends. I mean, I liked how they did this one. They did it really quick
Yeah.
on this one.
I think you can go over the Black Panthers, or as far as that story, what I just told, I think you can go over that really quick in a film. So I don't, maybe Black Panther is a bad example because I don't think there's not much to his origin. Like, we don't need to see him as a, 'cause they never done that. We don't need to see him as a child growing up in Africa, nothing like that, none of that shit or something like that. I think you just started at the age he's gonna be coming, and then, you know, we can establish that this person's his father, this is his land, and shit like that. His father gets killed, his country gets taken over. Once again, we don't know how this movie's gonna start because he's appearing in Captain America 3, so I guess we don't really know the outcome of what's gonna happen. Is he
It's
gonna,
just
even gonna be in Wakanda?
it's a lot of assumption. It's a lot
Yeah.
of, I mean, there could be a lot of theories. I mean, if unless you don't know the comic books, you're not gonna know what's gonna happen in the Civil War
I
movie.
think at this point now, Marvel has such a resume on their hands that I don't think they have to do origin movies anymore. I think they can just jump right into the.
If it was something like Guardians, who are probably very not known very well,
Yeah.
you would have to do something like that. But if it's like Ant-Man, people know Ant-Man. People know that.
Yeah, because he's a main Avenger. Yeah.
So you don't need, you just, I say just do it small. I mean, obviously do it really small for something like that. But if it's a very unknown character, yeah, I would say have an origin story.
See, I would agree to disagree on that one. I think with Ant-Man, yeah, you need probably an origin story because they haven't really brought Ant-Man up much in the cinematic universe. But I think for Ms. Marvel, Black Panther, and all of them, I don't think they need an origin story. I think that well, let me rephrase it. I do think they need an origin story just because, you know, we've never seen these characters before because I just want to see an origin story. But I don't think Marvel needs to do an origin story for the simple fact that they've been brought up in most of these Marvel movies already. And they've already established the worlds that they lived in. Like, when Ms. Marvel, Guardians of the Galaxy set that up. We saw the Nova Corps and everything in Guardians and shit like that, all these other space mom, whatever. I don't think origin stories for Ms. Marvel, I don't even think you'd have to do one. I'd love to see one, don't get me wrong, but I don't even think they'd have to do one. You can set her up in that world and then just come right out of it. I don't think anybody would have a problem with that. Black Panther's gonna get his mention in Captain America. I don't think you really need to see an origin story for it. Doctor Strange got brought up in Captain America 3. We've already introduced the magic world and shit like that in the first Thor movie when he was talking to Natalie Portman and shit, like he was explaining the difference between science and magic and stuff. I think that most of the worlds for these characters have been created already. Same thing go with Inhumans. The TV show is setting that up now, or even Avengers 2 with Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch. So So for some of these characters, they were already setting the basics and the world up for them.
Was it Strange in Amazing Spider-Man?
Which one? The first one?
Second one.
No.
Who was that who was walking down the hallway?
Okay, that damn sure wasn't Doctor Strange. I can fucking tell you that. I don't know who the fuck that was. Okay.
You know what part I'm talking about. I think it was his name.
I remember I looked at him just like, oh, you mean tell me this was your mystery reveal? I was like, no, nobody give a fuck about that, man. Come on. Like, that movie was so uninteresting and boring. At the first Amazing Spider-Man, when that happened, when the credits ended and that period up, whatever, that was probably the first time I saw something was just like, I don't give a fuck who that guy is.
I think the movie killed you at that time.
Yeah, I was just like, I don't give a fuck. That was the first time I saw a mystery try to reveal. And then the director coming out was like, oh, it's going to be a secret. We're going to keep this a secret. And then when the second one came out, they elaborated on it. I was just like, really? That's what you was getting? Okay. Not even a big fucking character, dude. Nobody's going to know who the fuck that is.
Yeah. But we are so Incredible. Going off on a tangent.
Incredible Hulk, though.
Incredible Hulk. I mean, you start off the movie, you get a quick glimpse on what happened. That he hurt Betty, who I cannot stand Liv Tyler. She's so soft-spoken.
I don't know if it's the way she talks or her dialogue delivery. It's just that she sounded like she was like a mopey, crackheaded whore or something. Like, just, why did you do that, bro?
She...
It's just like, ugh.
It's the same... She had the same emotions and same manner. It's pretty much the same acting as she was in Armageddon.
I don't think personally she's that good of an actress, and people are just like, oh, but you like that movie Super. You love that movie Super or whatever. It's like, yeah, and she wasn't in that movie that much. That's why.
And she was, like, drugged up, wasn't she? She was, like, kind of, like, just depressing.
Yeah, she was just depressing in the background, shit like that. It just, how did that bitch become an actress is what I'm trying to figure out.
Her dad?
Every time I see her on screen, she's always, like, it's not like she takes Ritalin and shit.
Her dad?
Oh, yes, right. That bitch is, like, constantly on Ritalin pills, though, or something like that. She's just boring. She looks like she's boring. She's annoying as fuck, too. And personally, she was the worst thing in the movie.
She was. I mean, Jennifer Connelly played it in the original. And she's even though she's a good actress, she always looks like she's depressed. Connelly.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I thought she was a much better Betty.
She was.
Betty. I don't know if they're going to introduce Betty into these future films or something like that. They're probably going to stay away from that. I hope they do, because after seeing this Betty, I was just like, Jesus Christ, man, Betty can't get
I don't. Home. I don't think, I mean, in the Avengers, I don't think it's ever going to be brought up, because you want to know more about the Hulk and not Bruce Banner.
I think Bruce Banner is more interested in the Hulk. That's just me, though. Actually, did you ever see the deleted scene of this where they brought it up in the Avengers, where that scene where Mark Ruffalo was talking about he put a bullet in his mouth?
Yeah.
There's actually a deleted scene for this movie on here where he was in the snow and shit like that. He had a gun and put it in his mouth, and then he became the Hulk.
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, there was a video of that going around online and shit like that, and it was a deleted scene that was supposed to be on the film and stuff like that. So, you know, when Mark Ruffalo brought it up in the Avengers and shit like that, I was like, wait a minute, is that scene that I saw, like, years ago on the internet and shit like that? Sure enough, it was.
Do you know Letter, the director, wanted Ruffalo before Norton?
I wonder who made the choice to get Norton then. Ruffalo couldn't do it or something like that at the time, I guess. Huh?
Well, David Duchovny was the first choice, and thank God they didn't get him. Yeah. I don't know, maybe. I mean, Ruffalo's a good actor.
Yeah.
And it's probably Marvel, you know, said, you know what, we need a bigger name.
Marvel wasn't working on this film at the time, remember?
Who was the main studio?
Paramount.
It could have been Paramount, you know. It could have been Paramount's call.
Could have been.
But Edward Norton did, when he dropped out, he did say, get Ruffalo.
Yeah.
I remember that. He pretty much told them to get Ruffalo.
Yeah, he did say that. I'll give him that. He did say that. Shit, probably even Norton probably realized, oh, he's a better Hulk than me.
Yeah. He wasn't even the green Hulk, but, you know, he's Hulk do better than me.
Yeah, he probably is and shit like that. I agree with you on the slow parts of the movie, and I think the slow parts come in the middle of the film.
And as after the first Hulk attack in Brazil, and why is it every time there's a movie in Brazil that they have to run rooftops? Have you noticed that Fast Five, freaking the Bourne movie, they always got to run rooftops?
Rio.
Yeah, they always have to do something on the rooftops every single movie.
I wonder if those, because I've obviously never been to Brazil. Are those rooftop shot? Are those rooftop shots like famous in Brazil? No, I was gonna say I think they do that in every Latin country, because remember they did that in Bad Boys 2 as well.
They did, yeah, they did. That was Cuba. That was Cuba.
Yeah, that was Cuba, yeah, too. So I'm thinking, like, is every Spanish Latin country, like, their rooftops, like, famous? Are those shots, like, famously seen or something like that? Because I notice in photos, too, I always see those shots as well. So I'm just like, it must be a big deal. And the thing is, those buildings really aren't, like, you know, spectacular looking at. But I agree that, like, the cinematography shots of it look gorgeous. But now that you bring that up, like, yeah, like, in almost every Spanish country, they always show that.
Yeah, and it's you expect it now. Yeah, anytime I know a movie's in Brazil, I'm like, oh, where's the rooftop scene? We gotta get to that.
Oh, shit. Any Latin country for that matter nowadays. I think the parts where it slowed down is when you have to, like you said, the first Hulk attack, and, you know, him and Betty reconnects and shit like that, and then you see these slow moments with Betty, and I'm just like, Betty's fucking boring. Get rid of that bitch.
I think she was really sucking the energy. I'm being honest. I think Liv Tyler was sucking the energy out of the movie.
Oh, yeah, and the reason why you probably are not 100% agreeing with yourself that she did it is because she wasn't on camera long enough. If she would have been on camera longer, she probably would have sucked the life out of the fucking movie then, because, my God, the chick is so fucking boring. That first Hulk attack, though, when they pretty much give him the super soldier serum, the fucked up one at least.
Tim Roth, yeah.
Yeah.
Who I liked Tim Roth in. I really liked him.
That Hulk attack was awesome, dude. That was a badass action scene.
Yeah,
especially with Tim Roth doing, you know, the whole super soldier shit, flipping around and stuff like that. When Tim Roth got to the Hulk's face, I was like, yeah, the dude's a badass.
Oh, you mean you talk about in the park?
Yeah, in the park part where he kicked him.
Yeah, I thought that's the second Hulk attack scene. I thought that was pretty good. I mean,
I gotta say, this movie has some of the best Marvel action scenes.
Beautifully shot too. That was beautifully shot too.
Oh yeah, everybody knows that Hulk is this unbeatable creature, but, you know, it's like, oh, he's a superhero. He wouldn't hurt a human being or nothing like that, right? And when he kicked that dude in there, I was like, damn.
He fucked him up.
Yeah, because remember, you see him in the next scene in the hospital bed. He's all fucked up. I was like, Jesus Christ, dude. I see why you have no problem taking the Abomination fluid shots now or whatever, because look at you, dude.
But the first Hulk attack, it seemed like they shoehorned those other guys that he worked with at the bottle company and to just induce the rage.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It seemed forced that happened. It's a very coincidence.
I wouldn't say forced. I'd say more calculated.
Yeah. I mean, he killed them. Mm-hmm. Well, it's never said, but we assume he killed them.
Yeah, most likely they're dead. And plus it's Brazil, so yeah, they're probably dead.
But I really did like Tim Roth as Blonsky. I really did.
Yeah, Tim Roth was probably, he was pretty fucking awesome in this trend. Later the film went on or whatever, he just got creepier.
He was, and he plays creepy characters, he really does.
Oh yeah, yeah, and I think that's what made that final battle so epic too at that, is just that this guy is like, damn near, like, he's not afraid. He's very fucking brave and shit like that. He's a fucking force to be reckoned with for the Marvel Universe as far as villains go, whatever and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
And for him to take the Super Soldier Serum and just start doing what he did, or that fucked up Abomination Serum and shit like that,
yeah,
and do what he did and shit. I gotta say that was that made that fight scene that much better though. Just to finally say, like, oh, he finally has that power to go 1-on-1 with the Hulk now. You know?
Yeah. One thing I do have to say is that Hulk's his own person, correct? I mean,
yeah.
Banner's not controlling him.
No.
So why would Betty scream at him to, like, not kill Abomination?
What do you mean? Like,
he was going to kill him, like, pretty much kill him. And then she yelled,
"Kill him, he's a creature!"
And she yelled no. And then he kind of just he kind of just pushed him to the side.
That's one of the Hulk traits, is he still has memories of the people he loved and shit like that or whatever and stuff. So Betty has always been, you know, the Hulk's calming point. Even when Hulk got old and shit like that or whatever, Betty has always been there to pretty much keep Hulk in place. She's pretty much his ringmaster, if you will, and shit like that.
The puppet master, pretty much.
Yeah, his puppet master, if anything. She's, when he's at his most evilest rages, whatever, Betty's the main one that can calm him down and shit like that. And that goes to the establishment of the two characters and the love they have for each other. As far as Liv Tyler doing that, I don't have a problem with the character doing it. What I have a problem with doing it is that he's a fucking creature and he needs to be killed.
Exactly.
You can't, where the fuck are you going to confine this guy at? So for her, and plus, number one, she has no connections with this creature or nothing like that or whatever, and he just tried to blow her up in front of the Hulk. What in the fuck is her motivation to tell him to stop from killing him?
Exactly.
That was my problem with that scene. It's just like, I don't get that part. It's just like, what, you can't save him. What are you going to do with him? You going to lock him up in a jail cell?
I mean, it was never, what did they do with him after the fact?
Never was said. And plus, obviously, since, you know, this movie, Mark Ruffalo took over and shit like that, we're not gonna get another Hulk movie and stuff like that, this world probably ceases to exist in this universe anymore. Well, at least these characters do.
Yeah.
Like, what would you do with him? What would you do with him? You gonna fucking hang him from a rope over the Grand Canyon or something?
You obviously can't heal him because freaking Bruce Banner's been trying to do that for years.
Yeah, exactly, and this dude's filled with fucking gamma blood and shit like that and all that, whatever, so he ain't gonna fix his ass, so he's all fucked up now.
Did you know?
Even in that scene, I gotta say, which I did like that, we got like a little nod of seeing the leader, I gotta say, that was some Batman and Robin shit.
Exactly.
Seeing a villain create another villain, the villain, it's just like, oh, what a fucking coincidence in this scene.
Did you know that Norton did some rewrites?
Yeah,
of the script.
Norton's always doing some fucking rewrites in films he works on and shit like that.
Seriously, who the fuck
that,
does
he... do it with Avengers, dude.
Who the fuck does he think he is, though?
I gotta say, Norton, man, I admire that you want to, like, do that, but if you want to do that, then become a fucking director or something like that, then. Don't be fucking acting in the film. If you direct your own goddamn film, then, or whatever, because... Could you imagine on the likes of someone like Joss Whedon or something, Chris Nolan or someone like that... Edward Norton coming in saying, hey, I like this part of what you did, but here, I'm going to change it to this right here. Can you imagine just like seeing some shit like that? Like, what the fuck?
I know. I just saw that. I'm like, wait a second. Like, Edward Norton is not an A. He has tendencies he can be an A-plus actor, but he's not.
No.
He's not like a Robert Downey Jr. You know, he shouldn't have a say in it just because of he's the star of the movie.
Yeah, I don't know what he done to get says in movies or something. I mean, maybe they establish that in contracts with him. Maybe he brings that up in contracts, like, oh, I want to.
It's probably in his contract. You're probably right.
I get to rewrite it or something. I get to do this if I don't like it or something. I don't know. Maybe he does that or something. I don't know. But I'm with you on that one, man. This is a director's film. He doesn't come to you for fucking help, then who the fuck are you to be coming out talking about, I got a new script for you to write here to go read it and go over, and just like, what the fuck, dude? Yeah. I hired you, not the other way around.
And Lou Ferrigno voiced the Hulk. I'm like, this guy is just holding on to he's just holding on to his career.
He will not let that shit go, bro. I'll tell you that right now.
I mean, this dude... thank God he's not touching. He's just voicing the Hulk in the Avengers, but
yeah.
This guy just will not let it go.
He won't let it go. He is the ultimate whore as far as actors go.
He is. He's got to be like, oh, there's a Hulk movie. Oh, I have to be the voice.
This or whatever, because this dude's always at these crappy cons talking about take a picture with me, like $50 to take a picture with me. It's like $50 take a picture with you? What the fuck? No.
You know what I do love? I'm like looking at like the old Hulk pictures from the TV show. They extremely changed his look. Not they only made him huge, like they made him like building size big.
Yeah.
And that one, he's just an average guy.
That's why I hated that show. Like, this dude has some. He looked like one of those porn parodies and shit. Just got makeup on. That shit looked bad. I'm sorry.
Another complaint is that I think Ty Burrell was so wasted here.
Oh, that's right. He was in this movie. That's right. Yeah, Ty. Oh, yeah. Well, Ty Burrell. I don't think he was that big of a star back then.
This is right. He did Dawn of the Dead right before this.
Yeah, but he wasn't a big star in that film either. I don't think Ty Burrell really became a star until that show, that TV show came out.
Yeah, I mean, but he was great in Black Hawk and Dawn of the Dead, I mean.
Oh, as far as an actor goes, yeah, he's a fucking fantastic actor, but I don't think he became, like, that big of a star until the TV show
came out.
Even that show, he's not even the main attraction of the show.
No, but he's great in it, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Dude is a fantastic actor or whatever shit like that. I think he could really... As a matter of fact, his first really breakout role came out this year. I don't even say breakout role. I guess his biggest project to work on today where he was a leading star came out this year, Mr. Peabody and Sherman, where he voiced Mr. Peabody, and he did a fantastic job on his voice work. I was just like, man, this guy really is like a fucking great actor, underrated
Wasn't he a big player in Muppets, too?
Yeah, he was in that, too, as well. Did that come out this year or last year? This year? Oh, that's right. I think it came out right after Peabody and Sherman. So, yeah, yeah, he played a big part in that. But obviously, you know, when you're in the Muppets, really the Muppets are the big actors and shit like that. I mean, because Ty Burrell being in it, along with Tina Fey and Ricky Gervais and all the other fucking actors that they had in there as well. But Ty Burrell's obviously going to get overly looked.
Yeah, I just think he could have been, he was just... That guy. That's all he was just that guy.
He's that guy in everything.
He is. And that's kind of like with William Hurt, who I like William Hurt. He's done a lot of good work.
I feel that about Ty Burrell, though. I wish the guy would get more work, or I don't know if maybe his contract with that TV show, I don't know if it's like taking up a lot of his time or something like that, but I think the guy definitely is one of the most underrated actors of all time right now.
He is. He's up there. But, like, with William Hurt, I think he was just very one note throughout the entire movie.
Yeah, he was.
I understand his reasoning of just catching Hulk and shit, but it was just... And his only emotion was towards Betty, and I wouldn't give a shit about her. Fuck, it's Liv Tyler. That's fucking let her die.
That's his daughter, man.
Let her die.
Actually, I gotta say, even though he's one note, this character is one note.
Who played Ross in the original, in Hulk?
I can't remember. William Hurt, I gotta say, he did a great job as Ross.
He did good. I mean, he has that... Oh, it was Sam Elliott.
Oh, Sam Elliott was fucking horrible.
Sam Elliott's good, too.
Yeah. I think William Hurt, though, because that character, General Ross, is one note. His whole thing is just, I hate the Avengers, I wanna capture the Hulk, he's a creature, shouldn't be released or whatever. And I think this guy captured pretty goddamn well in this film. I thought he played. He's one of those background characters that's just like, he doesn't really do anything for the movie, but playing that character, I think he does a fantastic job as it, and I think he can do better. He's kind of like J. Jonah Jameson from Spider-Man films.
Yeah.
He doesn't really do much, he's not standing out, but as far as the look go and the way he portrays that character, fantastic job or whatever as far as auras go. It's not really much to those characters, but they fill in that part just right.
Yeah, he was actually with Norton as Banner, probably, and obviously Tim Roth, probably pitch perfect on the casting.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Tim Roth, William Hurt, and Edward Norton, main stars of this film. Liv Tyler really fucked that film.
it's like she was like their last option.
I really would love to know who was the actresses that tried out for this role, because, man, yeah, I agree completely with that. Liv Tyler really, it's like people probably turned it down or something like that, and they were like, she was the last one, because I thought she was fucking awful in this film. I was like, man, that was probably one of the worst female love interests in a superhero film I've seen in a while.
It didn't seem like a real love story with those two.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely.
That was, like, horrible chemistry between the two.
No chemistry whatsoever and shit like that. Like, the whole... Like, because the thing I think... And this goes in all comics. I think that Betty and Bruce Banner has one of the greatest relationships. And not, like, dating-wise. I mean, like, relationship-wise is, like... what Betty means to the Hulk and Bruce Banner and shit like that. Mm-hmm. I think their relationship, their chemistry in the books and stuff like that is fucking phenomenal. I think it's some of the best work in it and shit like that. And when you get to this movie, like you just said, you feel none of that, no chemistry between the two whatsoever, and you just feel like, wow, I think they missed the whole point of that character and this character all together, because my God, man, she's just in these scenes just to be filler.
Yeah, and Betty Ross is a huge character in the Hulk universe.
And it's
just like the same day with Man of Steel with Amy Adams,
yeah.
Just terrible chemistry and short shoehorned bullshit that just kind of had added a love story that didn't need to be added.
Yeah, exactly. And a love story in Man of Steel is like, where the fuck did that come from?
Like, they could have eliminated Betty Ross from this movie and, like, say she died or something, and it probably would have been a little better.
I gotta say, for Man of Steel, that love interest, is she in love with Clark Kent or Superman?
I think both.
I can't tell, because she never had a moment with Clark Kent.
I think
and
it's...
here, you see that established in here, and probably, I think it was just the actors itself. I think so. They definitely could have got someone better to fill in those roles or something like that.
Yeah.
And also, that's another one of the problems with the film as far as, like, trying to forget the last film and picking up where the last one left off, is that they just jump right into this character and you don't know background of her and stuff like that. And then, you know, you got this horrible actress portraying her can't deliver the lines that they need to be delivered to feel that emotion from them.
Get someone that actually shows personality and not look like she's bored.
I don't know why people like Liv Tyler. I'm not gonna lie.
I
don't know why she still gets work today. I don't know why people like her. They find her to be a sweetheart or something. I'm just like, yeah, she might be a sweetheart, but she's a fucking horrible actress. Let's be real.
It is, and she, I don't think she's ever starred in a movie. Like, literally 100%, like, the number one A person.
Yeah.
But she's only been on, like, two, well, not counting Lord of the Rings, because her part was so small. Armageddon and this, she wasn't the main focus.
No, she's the crowbar focus of it.
And I would say she was somewhat crowbarred in Armageddon as well.
Yeah, she's like a last resort actress.
Yeah, that's why I think that she was like their last option. Like, everybody turned them down.
The last chick they had got injured on an action scene set, and it's like, fuck! Oh,
shit! Liv Tyler standing in the background, I'll do it.
Yeah, but get to that ending, man.
That fight scene, though. Oh my God.
Fight scene was awesome. It went on the right amount. It wasn't too long. It wasn't too short. At the right amount, that setup when he jumps off the plane, the helicopter, and lands on the ground, he comes back up as the Hulk, and then they're walking slow to each other, and then Neil Blomkamp, Emil Blonsky, he's talking shit in the back. He's just like, oh yeah, let's go. I was just like, I'm rusted. I was like, oh yeah, here we go.
I did love the realization when Banner jumped out of the helicopter. And that he tried to change in the Hulk, and he's like, oh, shit. Then he hit the ground. I love that. Was so odd. That was like, that was smart and kind of clever. Like, oh, shit, he's going to die. Obviously, he just wasn't, but because you can't kill Banner.
What it did for that scene, too, is made it feel like as if Edward Norton can control the changes or something like that. It just showed, like, you ain't got no control of this shit right now, bro. It's like... And I thought that was pretty fucking... That was a really good shot scene. And that fight scene was just fucking phenomenal, dude. People always talking about these monster movies they want to see, Pacific Rim and shit like that. Here's your fight scene right here. Here's your fucking monster fight scene right here. That was fucking phenomenal.
And you can't... I mean... And what exactly was Abomination? He kind of looked like a dragon-ish...
That's why he got that name, the Abomination. You don't really fucking know what he is. He's just a fucking creature of hell.
Yeah. That's why I was kind of like, I mean, they're looking at him. He kind of looks like the things from Super Mario Brothers a little bit. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
You see that now?
He's a cross between that and Doomsday from Superman.
Yeah, he you couldn't tell what he looked like. I mean, you could still see him, but you just can't tell. And it leaves a little mystery if they ever revisit this again.
I highly doubt they will.
They won't, but if they ever do.
There's really not much of a mystery to it either. That's why he's got the name of the Abomination. He's just a fucking creature from hell, pretty much.
And I love that they destroyed Harlem.
Black neighborhood, doesn't it?
And I didn't see a lot of black people running away.
They were running? Oh, shit.
They were inside. They were inside.
That, now, that roof. rooftop scene was awesome. I love that fight scene, man. And then, you know, Hulk finally talking and shit like that, where he saved Betty and shit, and he got stronger. And did the Hulk clap? Did the Hulk clap when that motherfucker was like, ugh! I was like, oh, shit!
How would he know he had that power?
The way he was shot, though, the way they shot that, though, looked fucking beautiful with the flames. I was like, wow, that looked gorgeous.
How would Hulk know he has that power? The clap power.
Because Hulk is the strongest universe in the world. What are you talking about?
I'll just say that, like, did he try it one day?
The motherfucker can jump, like, millions of miles away. I think that if he clapped his hands, I think that he could fucking make the fight. Shit. Yeah. The dude could fucking give you a fist bump and you'll fly halfway across the world. I think that if he threw a fucking bump.
And I think along with the ending, with the fight scene, which is just beautifully shot, I love that he ran away.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say it's a happy ending. It was no happy ending, but...
Yeah, because he can't live with Betty.
He can't live with... So he pretty much accepted it.
Yeah, he accepts that he's going to be on the run from the general and shit like that, and he just pretty much he has to run away and lives in solitude.
Yeah, and then he learns to control it.
Which... He pretty much became in tune with it. He's just like, this is me. I can't get rid of it. It's not something that I just get rid of. It's my curse.
Yeah, and then you had, it's got a pre-credit scene, which was, did Iron Man have one? Did Iron Man have a credit scene?
Yeah, well, Tony Stark did.
Did he? I don't remember.
You mean the Iron Man movie, or?
Iron Man movie, yeah.
Yeah, it had Samuel Jackson, remember?
Okay. When he went to talk with Tony.
You ain't the only superhero in town.
that was in the credits. This one was like right before the credits.
That one was after the credits.
No, I'm talking about Incredible Hulk.
Oh, Incredible Hulk, yeah. This one was like, the mid-credit scene?
No, it was right before the credits.
Oh, okay.
Like, and then he went to Ross and said, you know, we're putting the team together. And he goes, what team? And Stark just smiles and just, that's it. I'm like, because you said it yourself that Ross hates the Avengers.
He pretty much has no love for the Avengers and shit like that. So, and obviously being the general, he has to be, you know, obviously because these are like, because, you know, SHIELD is funded by like, kind of like, you know, independent contracts of like weaponized and shit like that. So obviously they have to let the general know and shit like that. And when he tells we're putting the team together and shit like that. I love to see this Ross character in the Avengers world, just how he would be reacting to all this shit.
I kind of wish they would maybe even hint at it.
Remember they did that at the end of the Avengers where they were just like, are they friend or foe? I'd have loved to see a scene where Ross was on TV just going like, the hell with this team. They all just destroyed this shit. Like
they could have done that. They could have. Something very small, Easter egg-ish. You know, they could have done that. But, you know, it is what it is.
So what would you give this film, man?
Action scenes were good. Especially the last scene. Oh, especially that park scene. Two great scenes.
When the last time you seen a hand-to-hand combat with two monsters? I can't remember that.
Oh, the original Godzillas?
Yeah, because I was going to say, you don't really see that much hand-to-hand combat in superhero films.
Especially where it's light, where it's like you can actually see it. It's not dark. It's not like in the new Godzilla where it's so fucking dark you can't see shit. Or it's in the background.
Yeah, remember?
What's that?
That's the best movie of the year, according to what Amethyst Chaos is.
Oh, fuck that. I saw that link. That was stupid.
That's the stupidest fucking link I've ever seen. Fuck that link. Okay. What website was that again?
I think it was Legacy, and I think Legacy is... I think they just that was all Legacy movies.
Oh, whatever. Okay. because Guardians was on there, remember?
That's right, they were.
Yeah, because Guardians was on there, and it was like, I think it was like the weakest or something like that.
It was like 3 or 4.
Yeah, it was something like a 30% or 13%, some shit like that. I can't remember. I was like, this list is bullshit.
The other 70% never seen it. I'm probably gonna give it a rent it. Just a straight middle of the road rent it.
Yeah.
The scenes when he's not the Hulk, when he's with Betty, it does drag on and it turns into like a real science movie.
Yeah.
Which it kinda hurts a little bit. But it picks right up, because right after that, you get the Hulk in the park. Which, it kind of makes up for what we've seen in between there. But I kind of liked Norton. He seemed, at times, he seemed bored.
Yeah, he did.
But I think he was a serviceable. He was no Ruffalo.
I don't think he was trying his hardest, to be honest.
I don't. You know, I think you were pitch on when you said he only tries when it's based on director and all that stuff.
Yeah, he probably just saw this because, you know, nobody knew this world was happening. He probably just saw this and said, oh, it's a superhero film, whatever, it's a pay, I can get it, I can paycheck. Whatever.
He probably got paid handsomely, too.
Probably got paid handsomely and shit like that. And the problem is, I think he really could have worked on this. I think he could have been phenomenal in this job or whatever, especially if he would have had the mannerisms that Mark Ruffalo has as far as Bruce Banner. If he would have had that down to a nod, it would have been perfect casting.
Yeah, tone down the ego, you could have been in Avengers.
Yeah, that ego is huge on this dude. I'm telling you right now, man. I've heard a lot of people say he's got a pretty huge ego in his ass.
One thing I think is my only complaint on Norton now. Back then, when he was doing, like, you know, American History and Rounders and stuff like that, he was cool. But now, I think he takes a lot of money just for a paycheck.
Oh, yeah. I think so, too.
So I think that's my huge complaint. And Liv Tyler was terrible. Tim Roth was the shit. I really like him a lot.
Oh, yeah.
He was creepy. Even as a human character, he was creepy.
He's getting creepier every time he took a serum in his body. I just, like, let this dude looking scarier and creepier every time.
You know, it's just the middle of the road rennet. That's all it is. I mean, it kind of like, perks my interest on what if Marvel and Disney, what they would have done with a movie like this.
Yeah.
What they would have done.
I gotta say, I like the science scenes because that is Bruce Banner, Edward Norton. Not Edward Norton, Bruce Banner. I think the problem with it is I don't think they were delivered well. I think Bruce Banner is probably one of the most interesting human characters you ever see for the counterparts of superheroes. The thing that makes Bruce Banner so interesting is the fact that he lives with... He's kind of like, well, I ain't going to say like Batman, because Batman can give that shit up anytime he fucking wants. Batman's just fucking crazy. This is really someone that can't give this up. This is no control or anything like that. This is literally something you're stuck with for life or whatever. This is not something like in Spider-Man you can just put the mask away and not be this character no more. This isn't like Batman. You just for some reason you're just fucking crazy and don't want to put the mask away or something like that, shit like that. Mm-hmm. This is something that this person is going to be stuck with for the life of the long life. I think one of the best things about Bruce Banner is what I love so much about the books of him is always that confliction he has between him and the Hulk and wanting to kill him. Personally, I think I don't know, maybe it's because of the PG-13 rating, why they took that out. But I would have loved to see that scene where he tried to kill himself, because there's multiple times in the books where Bruce Banner has tried to kill himself and literally became the Hulk and shit like that. So he can't even take himself. It really is a curse for him, and the confliction between him having that or whatever is what makes that character so great. And I think the film really was lacking in that part. And the parts that they tried to do it, it was a part with Liv Tyler in it, and Liv Tyler is so bad that it's just like, I don't even... No, it's not working for me right now. Liv Tyler was fucking horrible. That was easily one of the worst female love interests I've seen in quite some time, to be honest. Mm-hmm. The action scenes were fucking phenomenal. I think one of the best, besides the Avengers, far as Phase 1 goes, this is probably the best action scenes, to me at least, in these films. Like I said, it wasn't too long, wasn't too short. It gave you that right amount of energy, and the shots of it were gorgeous. I liked all the actors that were playing here. I thought Edward Norton, though, could have stepped it up just a little bit more, but he's kind of a pompous asshole.
He is.
So I could see him definitely, especially around this time, going like, oh, it's a comic movie. I'll do it the way I feel like, whatever. So, you know, you can only be called a pompous asshole by some, because I'm pretty sure some people, it's like, oh, it's just this one person said that. No, about 20 people said that, you know.
That's one of the main reasons why he's not in Avengers.
Yeah, exactly, because the motherfucker goes on sets trying to change scripts and shit like that. It's like, no.
Do you think he's kicking himself about that?
They did an interview with him about that. I don't know, personally. I imagine he's one of those guys, like, it's good, but it could have been better if it would have followed me.
if Joss Whedon took my rewrites.
Yeah, I think that he's one of those kind of guys, personally. I've heard way too many people tell me how much of a dick this guy is, personally. It's like, oh, he's nice at first, but once you get to know him, he's kind of a fucking pompous ass. So, this would have personally got a high C from me if it wasn't for Liv Tyler, because I really like this film a lot. It's a shame that it's one of the forgotten Marvel films. because of, you know, all the controversy behind it and shit like that or whatever. But I'm gonna go low C it on it.
Okay. Do you think it's forgotten due to the fact that this was the middle of the pack and it wasn't a Marvel movie?
I think that, first of all, it was the, if I'm not mistaken, it was the first Marvel movie. No, Iron Man wasn't. This one came out. It's one of the first ones that come out. Clearly, we've had Avengers with a new actor in it, so people don't know that it's confined with that as well. And plus that not too many people are fans of the Hulk that much.
Mm-hmm. I can see him being like, because it's what it's really just nothing, you know. There's no drama really into it, as opposed to Captain America or Thor. You know,
a lot of drama in the Hulk. I just said some.
Well, I'm saying as you know, as his though the drama is he wants to get rid of it.
Yeah, Bruce Banner himself is the drama. I think that the confliction they have there's a lot of drama here. I just don't think I just think at this point now it's way too gone to even show that now. It's way too far out there to see that now. We would have to wait to see after Avengers 2 how they can get that route, because we know Iron Man's gonna fight the Hulk. We're thinking that Scarlet Witch probably possessed Hulk for a scene or something like that. You know, because there's a bunch of scenes where he's looking fucking cracked out and shit. But
he does.
So yeah. That's one thing I love about this Hulk right now, too, though, is not Edward Norton's Hulk, but the new Hulk we have here, is that he's still a mystery.
And Ruffalo really.
He's on their side or against them. We don't know if he can turn out crazy sooner or later or something like that. We don't know. That's what I like about this Hulk. We don't know too much about him. So I don't want to see his own movie that dwells into him too much and, oh, he finds humanity and shit like that. I like this unpredictable, crazy-ass Hulk.
And Ruffalo embraces that, too.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I like that he's willing to put the work in for the motion capture and shit like that and the makeup and all that, whatever, and stuff. I like that he's doing it, because Edward Norton said he's not doing that.
Yeah. But it's funny is that people more remember Ang Lee's Hulk than this Hulk.
Yeah, that is true.
No, probably because how
you'll never forget a bad movie. That's why.
No, and that was way too comic bookish movie.
Yeah, that's the thing about as much as I hate those films or don't like them, the Batman Joel Schumacher films, those films will never be forgotten.
Mm-mm.
I think those films are more memorable than the Dark Knight films, just because of how bad they are.
I can see that. Yeah.
I think 10 years from now, even when we get all this new Batman and shit like that, you might forget about the Christian Bale Batman, but you'll never forget about that Batman, Joel Schumacher.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think those... The bad shit is some of the stuff you just never forget or whatever. I mean, the people that... I guarantee that right now or whatever. If 10 years, 15 years from now or whatever, shit like that, when we get this whole Ben Affleck Batman out the way, shit, you're going to forget all about... Well, not us, obviously, because we're film buffs and shit like that, but you're going to forget all about those fucking Kristen Bell Batmans or whatever, or what happened to them, unless you revisit them every year or something like that. And I bet you'll still remember those fucking Joel Schumacher Batman. Those Batman films will never be forgotten. That Ang Lee Hulk will never be forgotten. It's funny how they like to define those movies as those directors' careers, which they really aren't, so that sucks for them.
No, I would say it's either Life of Pi, or... Crouching Tiger.
Yeah, and you're right. Life of Pi, man, that came in and swept the Oscars. And no one thought that, neither. I didn't even think that. I was just like, damn. That
one best director.
Best director in every technical award.
Which was a beautiful movie.
Oh, yeah, very beautiful film. Now, obviously, everybody knows I'm not a religious person. I really hate preachy religion movies and shit like that. But that was probably one of the first religion movies I saw where... people could sit down and have conversations about it. It wasn't like, you know, I'm on this side against this side or whatever. It was really heart-to-heart human conversations with it, and I really appreciated that from the movie more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
But Z, did you know something?
What's that?
The Christmas polling is over, baby.
Oh, I knew that, yeah.
Oh, you knew that. Oh, yeah, but the bastards out there didn't know that. All the bastards out there, man. That polling, dude. Woo! And man, that polling was, it got rough. It got extreme at the end or whatever. I was looking at it, I was like, Jesus Christ.
Was there any other votes?
Yes, there were.
Okay. I was kind of curious. I saw that. I'm kind of curious what people are going to pick on that one.
Oh, yeah. I got some other votes too. I'm gonna go over the list right now. It was over 168 votes, which was awesome, by the way. The ending of it came quick too. I remember we were just talking about it like 2 weeks. I was like, damn, that came quick as fuck. But Four Christmases got 9 votes. A Charlie Brown Christmas, 18 votes. Gremlins, 12 votes. Black Christmas, 10 votes. A Christmas Story, 14 votes. 8 Crazy Nights, 34 votes. Damn, you remember when 8 Crazy Nights and the Christmas Story was going back to back?
Yeah, I think that was the first one we first discussed it. That was like the two top ones.
That was the two top ones. Damn, and to see 14 and 34 now. Wow, okay. Fred Claus, 0. Damn.
Fuck you, Vince Vaughn.
Disney's A Christmas Carol got 7 votes. How the Grinch Stole Christmas, 7 votes. Elf, someone actually voted that as Other.
Okay.
Got 1 vote. And Friday After Next got voted in as well.
That was on last year's poll.
Yeah, I think Elf was too, wasn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, because Elf, you had Elf, if I'm not mistaken. I had Friday After Next. And Friday After Next had 7 votes. And the winner of this, which had a total of 54 votes, which I saw this as I was posting the Hobbit review. I was posting that up, and I saw that. And I noticed, I kept hearing this ding noise. Obviously, I'm an admin, so I hear these ding noise or whatever. And I look, I was like, what the fuck is that noise? And I saw it, and someone just kept voting for Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. I was like, god damn. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, 54 votes.
Which I haven't seen yet.
You haven't seen the movie in general, right?
I haven't seen it ever, yeah.
That is Shane Black, Robert Downey Jr., Val Kilmer.
Skinny Val Kilmer or Fat Val Kilmer?
Fat Val Kilmer.
Okay. That's two different actors right there. Okay.
Yeah, they're two different people. the skinny one was Val Kilmer. Fat one is Val K. So, yeah, people, you asked, you voted for, and dude, my fucking Facebook blew up. At least about, like, 6 people hit me up. Oh, man, I wanted Gremlins to win. Oh, someone was like, I want a Christmas Story to win. I was like, hey, why y'all bitching at me about that shit? Shit. I wasn't the one voting.
Fucking, maybe we can do it on another Throwback Tuesday, you know?
Oh, yeah. Never thrown out the blue. I mean, obviously, I'm going to try to save as many Christmas. I'm never going to pick a Christmas because I'm trying to save it for the Christmas.
I know, because you said last week, we're like, we don't have a lot of Christmas movies.
No, we don't.
Have you noticed that not a lot of Christmas movies come out? Like, any good Christmas movies come out anymore?
Notice our others as Christmas movies we picked last year. So yeah, so I'm assuming that. So yeah.
Friday After Next is actually, that gives me a laugh.
Yeah, actually it does. Actually, but Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, it is one of those Christmas films that take place the weekend of Christmas, and you know there's a lot of Christmas stuff going on in there, shit like that. Where, as a matter of fact, it opens up with a Christmas story as well. I rewatched it. I can't wait to review this. I'm pumped. Obviously, it's going up. Is this week, people? So,
Thursday.
Damn, Christmas is right around the corner. I keep forgetting. I'm like thinking, I'm like, what is it? Yeah, today. Oh, fuck, dude. Christmas is, yeah, so it goes up Christmas Day, Christmas morning. So as you open in them presents, you get to listen to our full-on Christmas show of saying how much we want to fuck Robert Downey Jr.
True. And probably Shane Black, too.
Oh yeah, Shane Black as well.
you can take Pat Val Kilmer.
I'll take him for you. I'll take him. He plays a gay guy in the movie.
I can see that. I can see that. Cause remember, Top Gun.
He has a gay scene with Robert Downey Jr. too. I forgot all about that scene.
Yeah.
All right.
I can't think who else is in the movie.
I think they're the biggest stars. Everybody else is... I'm trying to remember now.
It's a Hollywood movie. I know that. It's a Hollywood movie.
It has a... Well, I ain't going to say anything about the movie because I don't want to talk about it because obviously we're going to review it soon. So I'm not going to say anything about it. Let's get into questions.
All right.
My man Sean, he says, growing up, what was your favorite sports film and has your opinion on it changed dramatically?
I love The Mighty Dogs.
So your opinion, you don't like it now?
I still love it.
No, then why you say that then?
He says, what's your favorite? And has your opinion on it changed dramatically? No, I'm still a fan of it. Because That's why I like the hockey team. I like Anaheim. They're my favorite team.
Oh, you like Anaheim Ducks?
It's because of the
Ducks.
movie.
Hey, a
But
lot of people
I
like
am a
Ducks.
fan. I am a fan of the team still. So, Mighty Ducks. I mean, sports movies back from when I was a kid. Back in the 90s, which we said last week that, they were pretty much every like three a year.
Every sport too. I went to an Angels, not an Angels, Anaheim Ducks game not too long ago, a couple of months
They're
ago.
pretty. They're really good.
Obviously Kings beat that ass. LA Kings. We got two LA teams, obviously Anaheim Ducks and LA Kings, and Kings are dominating. Obviously, man. And I gotta say, Kings came out of nowhere because they were doing horrible at the beginning of the season. They were playing bad, barely just made it into the playoffs. And then I don't know what it was. They pulled a rabbit out the hat and just
Won it all.
won it all. Man, that was the most shocking win of the year. I mean, last year obviously they won it as well, but this year, man, that was just like that had been pure luck because that was like that came out of fucking nowhere. Like, so everybody that's all wishing that the Lakers would win. Hey, you got the Kings. They dominate.
Lakers can go fuck off.
Yeah, they can really. Kings. I went to a Ducks game not too long ago. I like going to hockey games. Hockey games are fun as fuck. I would say this was probably my favorite. The Sandlot obviously was one of my favorite sport films growing up. I loved it. Rewatching it though, I gotta say, my opinion had changed. Back, Little P1 probably would have gave this a see it, man. High see it at that. If I'm not mistaken, I gave it a what, a rent or a stream or something.
I think it was a run-up.
Yeah, I think I gave it a rent it. I think I gave it a high rent to it then. Because you gave it a low see it. I wasn't that big of a fan of it. I know that ending of it had a different effect on me this time around when rewatching it. I was like, I guess I didn't really care for that ending that much now watching it. So, yeah, man, that threw me off there watching that. My other favorite one was Rookie of the Year.
I love that movie.
I haven't rewatched it recently, so I don't know if my opinion on it has changed or not, but.
One thing at that one movie, a sports movie that's, I would say Angels in the Outfield, because Joseph Gordon-Levitt, he looked like he was gonna cry in every freaking scene.
Yeah, he was looking like what's his name? James McAvoy from X-Men: Days of Future Past. Like he's about to cry.
Yeah, and Matthew McConaughey's in that movie.
Oh yeah, I know. Angels in Outfield was a huge. That was like all these movies we're talking about, like Mighty Ducks and all that. Angels in Outfield. I want to say that was the one that kind of kicked it off. That was like the, and even though it wasn't, that was like the big budget one out of all of them.
Yeah, and that was a Disney movie, I believe.
Yeah, and I think that's probably why they had that huge studio behind it. And it wasn't like it wasn't. It was one of those theater releases and shit like that. Mighty Ducks and Angels in Outfield were two like that. Was just like in this genre of films, those were like the big blockbuster ones.
What was with Disney and sports movies in the 90s?
Shit. Hey, we're 90 kids or whatever. Hey, sports was fun back then. I don't know why. Nowadays, I'm not gonna lie. Sports is boring to me. I'm not gonna lie.
It's the drugs and the wife beating.
Probably, yeah, so mainly the wife beating. No, I like the wife beating parts.
Punching him in the elevator.
I don't know. When I watch sports today now, whatever and shit, when I watch it on TV, I just go like, change the channel. It's just boring to me.
Yeah, I'm kind of. I used to watch like football like every Sunday. Now I'm just
Yeah.
it's a the okay I'm like an occasional fan since I'm like more into movies now than sports.
That's funny because being in Ohio, that's a big football state.
It
Yeah, so obviously California is a big basketball, baseball state and shit like that. And as much as I love the sports or whatever and shit, I think that my problem is with me and sports is the older I've gotten, the more I realize I watch TV to be entertained, not to watch shit I can go outside and do.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So, that's why I don't play sports game, video games and shit, is because I can go outside and go play basketball or go to the batting cages and hit a baseball or throw a football around, something like that. I don't fucking play video games for realism. As far
Well,
as.
I also think because I was a big Madden person,
Yeah.
and they didn't really change much in the game.
Yeah, it's not really.
They just added new players. That's it. So nothing changed. It's not like you play like Halo or whatever, where the next edition they're changed. Everything gets changed.
There's a reason why I play Grand Theft Auto, Assassin's Creed, Halo, and shit like that. It's because that shit I can't do in real life. I'm joking.
Well, you can do Grand Theft Auto in real life.
true. I can do that with the consequences of getting my ass beat by this. So,
Assassin's Creed, kind of difficult, but you can still do it. But
see, I don't like I don't care. I'm not that big on fantasy movies. I love fantasy video games, though, like that and shit like that, because that's just that's what puts you in the world. Is the fact I think my problem with fantasy movies is I never feel immersed in the worlds enough. And because maybe it's because I'm not emotionally involved in it. And I think with the video games, I'm more emotionally involved in it is because I'm playing it.
Yeah. That's a good point.
So with sport movies or video games and shit like that, or not sport movies, but sport TV show, sport games and shit like that, whatever, those are more things that I would rather be at the game to enjoy than watching, because watching, I'm just like, man, I can do 20 other things right now than watch this shit.
And it's, and like you said, Grand Theft Auto on Assassin's Creed, those are open world. You're never going to finish that shit.
Yeah.
Sports games, it's just repetitive.
People strive to get 100% of things. 100% on a football game is just winning a goddamn trophy.
It is. That's why when I got bored playing Grand Theft Auto, playing missions, I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to go on a little killing spree and just have the cops come at me.
That's what you do, yeah, okay. That's what you do, man. That is what you do. You're right, yeah.
I mean, if they have, like, Madden games, which, if they have Madden games where you can beat someone in an elevator and you're, like, and you're trying to get out of suspension and stuff, that'd be cool.
That'd be cool, yeah. That's why, I remember sport games I used to like was, like, the Blitz games and shit like that.
Yes.
Or what was it, NBA Jams and shit like that, because those were, like, they were the outlandish, crazy versions of those games. They were the extreme ones, or NBA Streets and shit like that, you know? Because they wasn't, like, straight-up NBA style. It's like, who the fuck wants to play? I know there's a ton of people out there that like to play those characters and shit like that, but I don't want to fucking play a game where I'm being Kobe Bryant to fucking shoot a three. I don't want to play that shit.
Yeah. And there's people, there's a game, I think it's like Blitz the League, where you actually can't, it's like story mode in the game.
Yeah.
Like, you can get your players to get, like, if, say, a player had, like, an injury, you can dose him with steroids and risk him getting caught.
Yeah. Yeah. I
heard about that. That was awesome.
That's why I play video games. I play video games for outlandish, crazy shit to happen or whatever. St. Rose 4, you can walk around with a giant purple dildo and beat the fuck out of people with.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, oh, man, you gotta play that. Oh, yeah, you gotta play that game.
I need to.
Yeah, you know, all that shit.
I need to upgrade my system.
Oh yeah, you got a 360, right?
On not working one.
Oh well, get it fixed. I recommend that game. It's probably like $20 now or something like that.
Well, I'm not gonna get it fixed. I'll just probably get an Xbox One.
Oh okay, well then that'll work too. Jennifer, she says, I love this movie as a kid. It is really one of those movies that isn't ruined by time. Is those one of those movies that really reminds you of being? Is this one of those movies that really reminds you of being a kid? See, you never talk about your film company. What is next for you?
First question first.
Okay. Is this one of those movies that really reminds you of being a kid?
I'd say yes.
No, I didn't have that experience when I was rewatching the movie. I remember the only thing I had about it was thinking about my kids. Like, I used to watch this a lot when I was a kid.
You weren't outside playing baseball?
Yeah, I was outside playing baseball or something like that. Because I was, growing up, I was a athletic kid and shit like that. Fucking father stuck me in fucking MMA when I was 10 years old and shit, so.
That was before the boom.
Yeah, I had a, dad, speaking of Angels in outfield, he was going to play for the California Angels back when they were in California, but during practice, his back went out on him and shit like this, so he never got a chance to play for him and stuff, so, you know, obviously he took it out on me and taught me how to pitch and shit like this, so he had me in the batting cages and shit like that, so, you know.
So he lived his life through you?
Yeah, somewhat, until he just gave up.
Were you not good?
No, I was fucking phenomenal, matter of fact, because he had a rule, you can't come back in the house if you lose. And he was serious about that.
Well,
he made me stay outside one time and I lost this fight. He was like, he's like, didn't you hear me in the crowd? I said, you should have guillotined him. And so I was just like, how the fuck am I going to hear you in the crowd when I'm in a cage? And And you can tell, you can see the disappointment, because I hated when he came to my fights. I'm not going to lie, whatever. I remember I was wrapping my knee up in the car one time, and I just see him in the mirror and shit, just shaking his head constantly. I'm just like, and I remember just finally saying, what's wrong with you? He's like, shit. He's one of those fathers that, like, says, you should have did it this way, you should have did it that way, or something like that. It's just like, yeah, easier for you to say. You're in the stands yelling and shit.
So he's doing that Monday morning quarterback to you?
Yeah, he's doing that. He makes my sister, who plays basketball, she had a torn ACL. She just recovered from it quicker than ever, too, by the way. Supposed to take a year. She recovered in less than a couple of months and stuff like that. And he made her watch, like, training basketball videos and shit like that, whatever, while she was injured. So I was just looking, I was like, where the fuck did you get these tapes from? He's like, I ordered them off those paid infomercials. So I was like, Jesus Christ, man. He made her watch those nonstop. He gave her a book and shit like that. And I was like, and he was like telling her, you're good, but you can be better. And just like, he's one of those fathers that like runs out in the courts and like yells at you if you do something not his way.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Some of the parents have been like, he kind of embarrasses the team sometimes, whatever. Like, he's been banned at games sometimes.
Wow.
I remember me and him took my sister to her game one time. This dude was literally on the fucking basketball court throwing hand signals, going, go this way, go, do it. And when she went for a layup, he was yelling, you should have went for a three-pointer, oh my God, whatever. I remember I sat down, I moved him from my seat. I was like,
what's sad is that there's a lot of parents like that.
Yeah, I'm glad sometimes he got banned from games or whatever, because this shit used to be scary sometimes when he came out. It's like, yeah. But I guess I will say, as evil and sadistic as he is, his training methods work.
That's good.
I know. It sucks because you can't argue with him about it. Would you? He showed me how to fire a crossbow and everything. And as much as I hated those training lessons or whatever, I gotta say, oh, I know how to fire a crossbow pretty goddamn well, so...
You're ready for that zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, so thank you and no thank you.
You're gonna be Daryl. You're gonna be Daryl.
Next question for you, Z.
I would say yeah, because, you know, I did play baseball with kids around the neighborhood, so yeah, I was kind of...
I meant next question was for you.
Oh, my phone company, Well, this is Throwback Tuesday. It's not about Shattered Image Films.
Did you say a phone company? Your phone company?
Film company.
Okay, I was saying your phone. Like, you got a phone company? Damn.
Yeah, I just, you know, 3G, man, it's killing me. No, I'm joking. I'm going for 6G. What's next? We are filming a movie called Final Act right now, which is a found footage movie that's DVD only. Which it's going to be first, it's like literally the first of its kind. This has never done before, what we're doing with the DVD.
Oh, don't tell no details, huh?
I'm not telling details, but this has never been done ever. And that's, it's me and another director. I wrapped mine up. His starts shooting next Saturday or Sunday. And then after that, next summer, I do the sequel to New Blood Rising.
There was a movie that came out this year with James McAvoy and Jessica Chastain, where they were two separate, totally different movies. And the director that worked on it came together and put the movies together, and it became one movie. I love the ambition of it. It sounds like it was something you're doing right now.
It's good. I don't want to give details, but...
Yeah, okay, well, never mind. You know what? Don't answer that question.
But it's you know, it's just another movie for the company to release, you know, okay. since, you know, I don't want to wait for every... big movie we do. This is a non-pressure fun movie. That's all it is.
Okay, well then, I was about to say, there you go, Jennifer, don't tell detail. My man, Pac says, I really have to question your guys voting for movies. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang is a Christmas movie?
Is that Tupac? Is that Tupac?
What?
Is that Tupac?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Tupac, yeah. Tupac, yeah. Tupac. Tupac. That's his hologram.
Oh. Thanks for listening. I don't know.
Hey, I can't speak for the people that voted, so.
I mean, people consider I'm not going to jump in too ahead, but people consider Die Hard a Christmas movie.
Yeah, and I can't talk for the people that voted for the movie, so
Maybe you should vote, Pac.
He probably did. He's just like, man, my movie didn't win. One of those.
Damn Four Christmases. No.
And yes, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang is a Christmas. So
he was the one that voted for Elf.
Oh, jeez. Now you voted for Friday After Next. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, he got a reply back to by Andrew. He said, technically, people do consider Kiss Kiss Bang Bang a Christmas film. It's on some people's list as best Christmas film to see.
I actually saw a list, and that was like four or five.
Oh, really?
Yes. It said Christmas movies that were not a Christmas themed type of movies.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, definitely. So yeah, actually, that's a good point. It is a Christmas movie that is not a Christmas theme, such as like I guess an Elf or a Christmas Story. Well,
Gremlins. I would say Gremlins isn't a Christmas theme movie.
No, Gremlins not even a Christmas theme. It just takes place. It's like Die Hard and Kiss Kiss Bang Bang once again, whatever. I think, but out of the three between Gremlins and Die Hard, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang has more Christmas stuff going on in it.
Yeah.
And plus, they bring it up like fucking three times in the movie. Oh, it's Christmas. I can't do that right now, whatever. So you know.
Yeah.
Rodrigo, last question I got here. He replies to Pac as well. He says, it's one of those diehard things. It isn't necessarily running its plot around Christmas, but the film takes place around it. Also, it's a Shane Black film, so hint, hint. He says, now on the... Shane Black does do a lot of... I forgot about that. Shane Black does do Christmas shit. I forgot.
There was Christmas shit in Iron Man 3.
Yeah, it ended with the he's like, it's Christmas, the fireworks, whatever. And wasn't that big gift, the bunny? Was that?
Yes.
Right?
Cause I remember that little fucking kid from Insidious was in that movie, and it was about Christmas too.
Oh yeah, he gave him he did his shop for him for Christmas,
yep.
Or something like that, right?
Yep.
That kid was awesome, by the way.
In the movie, but he's a little fucker. He's a little fucker from Insidious.
Yeah, he's a little shithead. you know, I'd say that kid could play a Shazam, like the kid version of him.
So he grows up into the Rock.
No, the Rock isn't playing Shazam. The Rock's playing the villain.
Oh, who's playing Shazam?
They haven't casted him yet.
Oh.
Obviously, people know Shazam as a kid that when he yells out Shazam, he becomes an adult, full power and shit like that. I don't know why they would cast someone as big as the Rock. I don't know why they would cast him as the villain, because I would assume they would want to make a franchise out of this and. I don't think he'll probably be along for the franchise.
I would like to see The Rock as a villain. I think he's got charisma.
Oh, yeah, he's going to bring a lot of charisma to the film. So they haven't casted a Shazam yet, but I said get this kid to play Shazam. Around the right age.
It's a Marvel movie. Do you think they're going to bring in another actor, the same actor from a previous movie?
It's a DC film. Shazam's a DC film.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, so... Yeah, I'd say get the kid. He was pretty awesome in this movie. He showed that he could stand up with Tony, the likes of Tony Stark. So, yeah, I think he'd probably be a cool Shazam. The funny thing is, how much is he going to see that kid on screen compared to Shazam?
That's a good question. It's DC.
Yeah, so you better get a kid people like, because kids can be fucking annoying in film. So. He also says, now in that Sandlot, I actually hated this film growing up. Thought these kids were annoying as hell. Can you recommend a film with kids that aren't so damn annoying? What a coincidence.
No. You can't.
I can bring up films where the kids might have had a cameo and they were good, like Iron Man 3. That kid was great in it. I like that they didn't play him, like, you know, as, like, that stupid, weak kid is annoying or something like that. I like that the fact that he was actually smart and was, like, you know, can talk to adults and shit like that and stuff. I hate when they do that with kids, trying to make them cute and all that shit, whatever. Matter of fact, they even make a joke in the movie where he was, like, trying to play cute, like, but I'm cold. And he's like, oh, but you know how I know you're cold? It's because we're connected. And just fucking left his ass there. I was like, damn. Damn. That was pretty awesome. I know a kid movie. Not a kid movie, but it's got kids in it. Let Me In with Chloe Moretz and what's that boy?
Daniel Radcliffe.
I forget his fucking name. Damn, Asa Butterfield, some shit like that.
Okay.
That was a good one. They didn't have the kids being the little annoying fucks or whatever, and it was kind of a romantic horror film as well.
Would you say that, Harry?
They beat you over the head with the romantic parts of shit. Yeah, I really liked that one. I had two good kid actors.
Could you say Harry Potter?
As much as it's titled Harry Potter, it's an ensemble film as well. But I don't know. I guess, yeah, maybe.
Because that's the only one that's come to my mind, because kids are so, especially in horror movies, they are so annoying.
It has to be the first one or the second one, though.
Yeah, I would say the first one. I mean, but kids in movies are so annoying. Especially horror movies, they're terrible.
I hate them in comedies.
Yeah.
I fucking hate kids in comedies. That is, like, if horror, kids in horrors is yours and kids in comedy is mine. I fucking hate kids in comedies. Like, they, because they always give them, like oh, they gotta do something that's, like, up to today's standard, like pop culture reference and shit like that. And they kind of, and they're just like, get the fuck out of here.
Think of Grown Ups.
Oh, no, I got one. What was that movie? We're the Millers. Where that white boy, the little kid, whatever and shit, he was doing, like, oh, I gotta sing TLC and shit like that. It's just like, I fucking hate when shit like that. I was just like, oh, God.
Yeah, Grown Ups, those kids were annoying.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say the kids in Sandlot were annoying. I just say that lead kid, Smalls, totally annoying. Like, Rookie of the Year, not annoying, because it's a kid, you know, with kind of like a superpower somewhat.
Yeah. I think that concept alone was cool about it. And, you know, I think his reactions to being in that world of baseball for his favorite team, you know, I think his reactions were justified.
Yeah, it's really hard. I mean, I can't think of any movie with kids that are annoying. I mean, Let Me In might be the one lone horror movie exception.
Yeah, have you ever seen that movie?
I've seen probably like the last hour of it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I definitely recommend that film. People to check it out. It is a good film. Obviously, it's a remake too of
Swedish. I think Swedish. Right, Swedish.
Yeah, it's a Swedish film called Let the Right One In, and that one had kids in it as well. But you know, foreigners, they beat their kids, so if they act up, they'll just
beat them. Yeah, like we said, Insidious, annoying kids, fucking. Well, okay, I thought one, Goonies.
Yeah, Goonies is definitely. I was gonna say, what's the? I know there's one back in the day. Back in the day, I think it was acceptable because, you know, I don't think we had movies. I think kids are so fucking annoying in films today. It's just because they're whiny. They always bring up some pop culture reference that nobody gives a fuck about no more.
Mm-hmm.
What was a film I just saw? I saw a film last year where the girl in it was just like, no, it was 2 years ago. This Is 40, where the girl in it was bringing up like Lady Gaga's music. It's like, oh my fucking God, dude. I didn't.
You know what?
Kids today in movies, they just market other shit.
I'm going to go off a movie you just reviewed. I think it was yesterday you put it up. Annie.
Oh, Annie. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God.
How annoying were those kids?
Oh, my God.
And that was all pop culture, and that they used Twitter.
Man, they hip-hop the fuck out of that movie, too. And the movie opens up with, it's a hard knock life. Or I was like, oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. The movie had just started. I was already like, you know, I'm ready to walk out.
During the opening credits, like, ah, oh, I'm done.
Just singing shit no more. I was like, and you're right. It's all. I was like, I hate every bit of it. Shit like that. And I was that girl was horrible. This actor's like, aren't you glad I'm back? I was like, ugh, I hate that joke.
And she got nominated.
Prey on like the girls especially. The little girl, they try to prey on, oh, how cute she is, or something like that. They're just like, and I'm not speaking just for that movie. I'm talking about most kid movies with little girls, and they try to play that shit. Oh, look how cute they are. It's like, no, I don't go goddamn how cute they are.
That was the ghetto, Annie.
It really was. You know what? And a lot of people, they always go like, oh, how come you don't see too many black people in movies? Or like with Exodus, how come they didn't get a black cast? I'm going to tell you this right now. I fucking hate when they get black cast, whatever. You know why? Because they stereotype the fuck out of them. That's why. So I don't know why people in 2014 are still clamoring, oh, make a black cast with this, make a black. Why? And you know what? And everybody always goes off and blame, oh, it's Hollywood's fault for doing it. It's not Hollywood's fault. It's your fault. Because you pay to go see that shit. You pay to go see that shit done. So therefore, it's your fault. Because Hollywood just sees, well, it's making money, so keep doing it.
That's like Tyler Perry movies.
It makes keeps making money. keep doing it. Okay, yeah, you're right. So everybody always be hearing these complaints. Oh, Hollywood's doing this wrong. Hollywood's doing what the money is bringing in. So you doing it. It's your fault. I don't know how many times. That's why I was kind of sick of the whole Exodus conversation. It's like, oh, they didn't get any dark-skinned people and shit like that or anything like that. You niggas wouldn't have gone seen the fucking movie anyway. Let's be real.
Well, if you look at Tyler Perry movies. You hate that guy. And that isn't that stereotyped?
Oh, yeah. Fuck yeah. Stereotyped like a motherfucker. Stereotyped to the T, too. Nothing but stereotype. Hate that guy. Hate that guy every flesh and blood on him and shit like that. I admire the dude's success. And where he came from being poor and became pretty much his own studio multimedia, I admire that like a motherfucker. Like that is like the biggest worth ethic you could have in Hollywood. But the dude does not do anything to help the black audience and communities as far as the film goes or whatever. Matter of fact, he embraces it and makes it worse. And I say fuck that guy 100%. But at the same time, can you blame him? Because they make money.
Yeah, and
as much as you want to get into ethics and race and all this in Hollywood, Hollywood is still a business and is ran by money.
Yeah, and it's stereotyped just because this happened. This is a true story. I had to tell this. Yesterday, the new Jordans got released.
Yeah.
And Wednesday, you know, people lined up Foot Locker. I think it was Foot Locker. Foot Locker was handing out tickets, and there was like a riot outside our mall, and the cops came in and the stuff. So. Yesterday, it was like the official release was yesterday, and the news interviewed this black guy who had a posse around him, and he goes, and she goes, why'd you get these shoes? He goes, this bubblegum footing on the thing, and he licks it. He licks the bottom of the shoe.
Oh, my God.
And they're just all acting ghetto, because I posted on my Facebook. You should take a look at it.
Yeah, I should take a look at that, man.
This is the reason why Toledo gets made fun of.
Jesus Christ. Okay, I got a similar story too. Yesterday I went to go get some I went to Walmart. It was right down the street or whatever. I went to Walmart to get a Christmas card and a little bag to put the gift in. I was giving one of my friends or something like that. Just little stuff, whatever. And I went there, and as soon as I get there, I don't never go to Walmart. I hate fucking Walmart or whatever. There was a fight. Black chicks fighting or whatever, and then black people around are filming it, cheering and shit like that. And I'm the only black person that just walks by and just goes in the store to get what I get and shit.
Fighting outside?
What was that? Yeah, it was outside of the store, yeah.
Well, it was the weekend for Christmas, and so.
Fucking ignorance is what it was, but I, you know what? Let me go on a rant. I gotta get out of here, people. I gotta call it a day. First of all, I gotta piss. I've been holding it for 10 minutes now.
You always do.
I gotta go out of here and go get some food real quick. I gotta go get ready for the podcast and extravaganza this week has got for us. Shit, me and Z start that this week, man. Are you ready for that, Z?
I am ready.
All right, man. You pumped for it. I'm pumped for it. People, this has been Throwback Tuesday, episode 80. Got that right, finally. I'm the phenomenal one.
I am Z.
And we will catch you people on the next edition of... Actually, you'll see us on the Christmas show. So, never mind. We'll see you this Christmas, then. Happy Christmas. Merry Christmas. It's a celebration, bitches. Be merry. The China Club.
Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa.
Fuck your thoughts. Happy God Day. Whatever it is to you, you know.
Oh, wait. Happy holidays so we don't offend anyone.
Oh, yeah. Basically, you know, I don't believe in Christmas and all that shit. So happy holidays to all you people out there. Later, bastards.
Later.